And it's the Table Breakers, they've done it again.
Is this the biggest panel we've ever had on, Jason?
One day you have a guy throwing mid-70s, and next week you have a guy throwing 55-mile fastballs.
Hello and welcome. Baseball is back and so are we. I'm one of your hosts, Danny Quinn from the Glasgow Comets, temporary host to my left hand, right hand side. I don't know. If you're listening, it doesn't really matter. How you doing, Ewan?
Not bad here. It's podcast hitter in here, so I still get the PHs beforehand. Basically, Danny, let's just be fair here. You're a switch hitter on the microphone. I'm on the left, I'm on the right. You're stuck in the middle with me.
Exactly. It's baseball season now, man. Like the past weekend, the games have started, and I had the absolute luxury of there wasn't a Yankees game that I could watch on Friday night, or was it Saturday? I think it was Saturday. So I watched the Chicago Cubs, and I watched your Giants, Ewan, be held to 3 hits for 8 innings. It was the most elaborate form of torture I've ever given myself. How have you been watching any games?
So you've now discovered the not just the origin, but the ongoing story of Giants torture, as our phrase. Congratulations. Nope, no SF tonight. Let's roll out the cliches. It's just spring training. Nobody's found the rhythm yet. Pitchers haven't got their arms done. You don't win it in the first game of spring training. And if your club isn't saying that, they'll say it in the second game when they lose their second game of spring training. One of the fun things I really love about baseball is about margins. Everything is so finely pitched. It's so 50-50 that you need 160-odd games. And even then, you'll know yourself that those clubs in the majors are like maybe only 3 or 4 games apart. It really is a game of fractions. And when you have a weekend league like we do here in Scotland, and we're playing 16 over that, you still find that it comes down to the final game. It's still those tiny margins. It is, I think that's one of the things that we have to remember, that teams that go on a losing streak are losing by millimeters in some cases. So, yeah, the first game didn't go. The cactus, the lemons and the springs and the other, I don't know what other American plants there are. What are the coyotes with their feet planted? I don't know. This is why there's so much time. Spring training is really for the pitchers to get going. It's to get that arm loose and to get going. But it's also to find out faults and find out ways to fix them. So just before we do anything, Danny, could you just take 3 steps backwards and turn around for us? Yeah, there we go there. Okay. Yep, and just keep going. Keep going, keep going. Right, stand up for us.
Right.
There we go, and sit back down again, and everybody be thankful that we're using the old uniform stock, and Danny has not suddenly turned into Mr. Transparent of Glasgow.
No.
How do you end up with trousers like that?
The trousers?
No, not you, the Major League, Danny. I don't want to see three. Yeah.
All right, right. You're talking about
you. Oh, God, he's caught up now, finally.
Finally. No, you're right. It's been a bit ridiculous, the Transparent. Trousers that have been on, is it Rawlings that make them? I don't know, yeah, but they've been shown a bit too much, to be honest.
It does mean that we have another stat we can use. We used to have right-hand and left-hand pitchers, now we have dress to the right and dress to the left.
I think with the spring training, you're right, I'll pick up on what you said there. It is just about getting the pitchers warmed up. Been watching a lot of the games, and you see pitchers going and just, you know, work on a slider or work on a fastball or work on a curve or whatever. So, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it's a long, long season, 162 games. And then you've got 30 exhibition games even beforehand. So it's a good way just to sort of ease into the season, isn't it, before I put my marriage at risk for disappearing for 6 months behind a TV screen. So,
do you want to know the secret to that, Danny?
What's the secret, Ewan?
What you do is you get a pair of Bluetooth headphones, yeah?
Yeah.
And you just put one of them in your left ear when you go to bed at night, because the MLB app gives you all the radio broadcasts for free. So you can sit there, I'm just sleeping, having wee doze, and just sitting there under the covers, little tiny speaker in your ear. Here he goes, Brands throws, his long drive is long, it's gone. You just have to make sure you don't go home run in the middle of the night, and you'll be fine.
If the Yankees perform like they performed last year, I wouldn't need to worry about celebrating home runs. But hopefully...
You're not going to get it up in bed then, no?
Welcome
to the sewers, ladies and gentlemen. It's spring training time.
It is spring training time. Really excited about tonight. So we've got Bash coming on, Ross Marnie from Tayport Breakers. And Tayport have had tremendous success over the past couple of years. So really keen to hear from him and his experience getting into baseball. And the one thing I will say, you, and I'm going to challenge on you, saying that spring training games don't matter, because Ross will tell you that he sat and watched the Yankees last night put up 12 runs against his beloved Blue Jays, and just a brilliant precursor for the season. How you doing, Bash? You all right, man?
Yeah, fine. I might just cancel this call now, actually. You know?
See, here's the thing. The Giants lost because we know we've only got 93 wins in us for the entire year. We're not wasting our 20-run blowouts in spring training. What's the point? We'll hold that for the regular season.
You know, I was watching the game last night. I was thinking, oh, man, Danny's going to bring this up as soon as I won this call. I want to guarantee it.
Danny's not a real Yankee. He doesn't even know the first Yankees player to wear number 20.
To wear number 20?
Yeah. Oh. The one that you're wearing right now. Where's the heritage in your jersey?
The Passad. Let me take a guess. Craig Mercer.
Nah, lower. Further back.
Yeah, it's going to be... They used to do it by lineup, wasn't it? So, like, yep. Ruff batted third, so he was number three, and Gehrig was number four. Yep. And so I can tell you who the number 20 was. Go on, tell me, Ewan.
It's Miles Thomas.
Right. Okay. Yep. Nice.
Pitcher, 6 wins, 6 losses, traded to the Senators.
There you go. Wee bit of trivia to start us off. I was actually speaking about trivia. I was thinking about the connection between the Yankees and Blue Jays because, you know, I didn't want it to be too hostile in here. And I was thinking of players that have played for them, like David Wells and Roger Clemens. Recently, you guys have picked up the powerhouse that is Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. So that's good for you. But also, I found a synergy in the number 27 because obviously the Yankees have 27 championship rings and you guys have 27 players on your 40-man roster that weren't alive the last time the Blue Jays won anything. So that was always good. So the number 27 has real synergy there. Bash, the way we usually do this, man, when we're talking to people, I know you've tuned in a few times before, but we just like to get an idea of how people get involved in the sport, particularly in Scotland, where it is not only underground, but it's almost invisible unless you're looking for it. So why don't you start by telling us a wee bit about how you got involved in baseball in Scotland?
I've always loved baseball. Went to Canada and... 92, 93 was the first time I went over to see my family over there, mum's side of the family. And we went to a Jays game against the White Sox in the playoffs. They were playing in Chicago. The only tickets you get were for an away game, but they opened up the Rogers Centre and got to watch the game on the Jumbotron. All the fans, it was brilliant. Fell in love with the game then. Never really thought about getting to play it. Just always watched it on TV when I could. I was played basketball all my days. That's all I've ever played, basketball. I was over in Toronto. One of my mates texted to say, "Oh, Paul Gardner, PG, is at baseball training tonight." I said, "Nah, he's playing basketball on my team. He's at basketball training tonight." "No, he's at baseball." I'm like, "Nah, you've got it all wrong. He's at basketball, I promise you." So I get back and sure enough, PG's been to training with the Dundee kind of team that we're trying to start. So that was it. As soon as I came back, spoke to Paul, went to Dundee training a couple of times. We couldn't really get enough guys to go. We all went up to Aberdeen and played with them for a few years.
Talk about that first time picking up a bat. You've watched baseball, you've seen them on TV just swinging through and sending it to the bat. What is it like first time you see that ball coming down at you in a game and you got to swing the bat?
It wasn't too bad. I was all right. We didn't really do too much batting at practice because there weren't enough guys to do it in. So it was mainly just fielding drills, which was fine. Great at that, no problem at all. I love reps. I love taking reps. Talk to guys at the table, I love it. Guys think it's boring, I'll just take grounders all day. I love it. But I remember my first game was against Jason Dare, actually. And I got hit my first game. I thought, this is easy. And it's not actually that easy.
It's always seems easy at first. I mean, 92, 93 would have been, the last won their championship in 93, so that must have been a good time to be over there. That, I take it that would have been a really good team. You were seeing a good energy, man. What was the experience like seeing that first sort of game live?
So I was young at the time. I was 13, 12, 13. But my family, my two aunts and uncles, they were big into the baseball. Watched every single game on the TV, home and away. So then we came back, my auntie sent me over posters of the World Series teams, the back-to-back posters, cups, like everything you could think of. They'd get a parcel every few months with different bits and pieces sent over. So it was great. And then, yeah, just going up to see the family. I'd always make sure I was kind of arranged my trips around about a homestead for the Jays. Yeah.
Does that mean your first game you saw in person was postseason?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's starting up high and then just slowly falling down, isn't it?
Though they were in Chicago, that was the only problem. It was on the Jumbotron in Toronto, but the teams were in Chicago playing. But that was the way it went.
Have you managed the postseason to see them yet?
No, no. I watched the games when we played Texas, when we finally got back to the postseason. I remember like the games were finishing at 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning. I'm like, I've got work in an hour and a half, but I couldn't not turn it on. I had to watch every single game. I was begging for it just to finish. There was the one game that got delayed. It was Russell Martin threw the ball out. It hit somebody batting. And then there was a delay for that. The fans were throwing trash onto the field. There was another delay for that. And I'm like, please just get the game going. It's like 4:30 in the morning. I want to go to my bed. I'm shattered. And that was the game that Batista hit the home run, the bat flip.
Yeah. So
didn't sleep. I was buzzing after that. Absolutely buzzing.
Amazing, amazing. So yep. You come back and you start playing. How long did you play in Aberdeen for then before?
4 years. 4 years. Yeah, 4 years I think it was. It was great, like great bunch of guys. Learned a lot from like Stephen Evans there was really a big help to guys that we had never really played all that much. Jared as well, Jared Tomley. So yeah, it was great to get to play. We did a lot with the field. You know, there wasn't anything there when we were playing, but we got the field going, hopefully set a bit of the foundations for what they've got just now.
Yeah, and that must have been quite difficult then. You know, you're sort of invested, you're trying to grow the sport up there, you've obviously cultivated friendships, and you know, I take it as a certain element of pride in getting it up off the ground. And then, of course, Tapok comes along and geographically just makes a lot of sense for you. Was that an easy decision then to look at going to Tapok? And what was that a difficult transition to manage? Or talk to me a wee bit about that.
It probably was pretty easy just because of the travelling. So you're going to train on a Wednesday night and it's an hour and 10-minute drive up there. A game on a Sunday, you're away early in the morning, setting the field up. You know, playing the game, getting the car, and you've still got an hour and 10 minutes back down the road again. Like, there was no home games for me. Every game was away. So even, it was kind of glad to play Glasgow and Edinburgh away because I didn't have to set up the field. I could start a bit later in the day. But yeah, it was just a long, long day. And that was a full day on a Sunday. But like I said, like a great bunch of guys. So it was hard to leave them. But at the same time, it was a chance to play 10 minutes on the road in Tayport. It's a no-brainer. You know, I could go to training, no problem at all, and go for an hour, 2 hours, and be back home in 10 minutes time, get my tea at a reasonable hour and get to bed. And then Sundays I can hang about with the kids in the morning and still get on the field early doors to help set up and see the development games. And even, you know, packing up, I'm in the car, 10 minutes I'm home by 5 o'clock. It's great.
Yeah.
You're still moving on to a new team though there. So when Aberdeen comes to visit to Tayport, again, going back to first time you're playing your old team.
Yep.
Any difference of emotion? Any sort of grudge is the wrong word, but it's just like, are they wanting to prove you wrong? You want to prove them right?
I don't know.
Going through the head.
I think it's pretty friendly rivalry. I know that is our rivals, but yeah, that's the one thing I've left. Aberdeen to go to Tapeworm. That's our rival game now. So, but yeah, they're a good bunch of guys. I think when I was going to Tayport, there was a lot of guys that were moving away as well. So there's a lot of new players going to Aberdeen that weren't there when I was playing anyway. Like Jared moved away, Freddie was still there and he was going down to Edinburgh after that. And then like Paul came with me to Tayport, so did Scott as well. So yeah, the kind of nucleus of guys were all kind of splitting up. And there's like, there's what, maybe one or two players now that were there when we were there. In fact, one is there, I think, when we were there. That's it. The rest are all kind of disbanded. It's hard for Aberdeen when they've got a lot of university guys coming to play. If they're there for a year, 2 years, and they're away again, it can be a brand new team every year, basically, depending on the students that are coming in. That was our big thing. Like, towards the end of the summertime, there's a lot of them are leaving to go home again, and you're left with, you know, the bare bones of a team to try and get through a game. It was tough.
Yeah, and how do you feel? How is the settling in process in Tayport? I mean, it goes without saying you're very welcomed in and things like that. You've obviously got some people there that you know already. How did you find that whole experience? Like, it's an awesome field, first and foremost. And I don't mean to brag, but I was the first person that ever struck out in a competitive match in Tayport. So that's my claim to fame at top of the first.
That's Danny there, remembering his failures like a proper Yankees fan.
There we go, man. How is it? Like, you got the field and stuff like that. It must have been just such a, you know, being able to take the kids to the field and that. All that must have been
so different, but... I'm going to put a plaque up for you. First strike out field was Danny. I'm going to get that plaque up for you, mate.
I can't remember who said to me, man, look, but when I went back to the bench and we were like, oh, that's just a wee bit of history, that is. I was like, I could have been the first hit. I had the opportunity. I was top of the order and top of the first. But
as long as long as you remember, that's the main thing.
That's it. So how was that, just settling in and getting, obviously it's a new ball club, you're trying to be competitive, things like that. What are some of that difficulty in those first sort of years down there? Not difficulties as such, but what are some of the transitions coming off a team that's, you know, Aberdeen at that time, 2019 into 2020, coming off the back of a post-season run, quite an established team. Was different walking into Tayport as a new team?
It's tough because there wasn't a team. Jason got in touch to say, I know you're a lot closer here. Do you fancy playing? If I can get a team going to Tayport, I'm moving here. What's your thoughts on it? Immediately, I'm like, yeah. We just had my oldest daughter at the time as well, so it was kind of hard to go away on a Sunday and, you know, leave Lindsay at home to deal with the kids all day. So it was like I said, quite easy to go to Tayport. But saying that, there wasn't a team to start with. So we're kind of hoping that, you know, I don't want to leave Aberdeen to just not play. That was the one thing I was worried about, was leaving and then not actually having a team to play in the league. I wouldn't have wanted to kind of crawl back to Aberdeen and, all right, guys, I'm back again. Didn't kind of work out down the road, so I'm crawling back to you. But we had a few guys that were, like Scotty was wanting to play right away. A couple of other guys were keen as well. It was hard, though. We didn't have anybody. We were kind of word of mouth and hoping to get a few guys, and like the first year we really did struggle. It was tough. A lot of players had never played before. We didn't have the development league then as well, so everybody was kind of, and we had maybe like four or five guys who'd played an actual game. The rest were completely brand new to the sport. Had maybe seen a couple innings on TV, but even that, a lot of them had never just wanted to give it a go. Never played before, never seen a game, but wanted to give it a go. So you're trying to explain the rules, and we're getting guys cut out, stealing, running on fly balls that, you know, like, oh, you didn't get back. But they don't know the rules. It's hard to, you know, it was hard, but it was great. Like, the field's fantastic. I know, like, you've obviously both been there. It's great. The views are brilliant. And again, it was a lot of work to get it going and whatnot, but it's coming to fruition now. And it was hard the first year or two, just like I said, just getting guys in that have played the sport before. And then it helped get Marina and Shane down from Aberdeen as well. We pinched more players from Aberdeen, so that was always good as well.
Yeah.
How do you go about building the team spirit when you have that small core, but everybody else is volunteers, doesn't really know the sort of flavour of being in a team? How do you, as one of the more experienced, how did you go about making individuals into the team that was Tayport?
I think it's important to, you know, it's going to be tough to start with, so you can't worry about winning the game every week. It's about just getting better, getting more experience. You know, you guys know yourself, like, the only way to get better is by playing better, get more experience, learning a bit more about the game. So we knew it was going to be hard to start with. It wasn't going to be, you know, going to the playoffs and getting through the cup. It was never going to be that in the first year or two. It was going to take time to build the team, to get guys experience to play again. So it was important just to keep them motivated. You don't want guys getting too down on themselves. Like, I'm the worst at getting down on myself. I beat myself up for the silliest sort of things, and it stays with me for an inning or two before I forget about it. But I'm getting better and I'm getting older, so I'm getting a bit more wiser about it. But I know when you're first playing a game, like, you make a mistake, you feel like everybody's looking at you. But it was important to just keep the guys going, nah, it's all right, on to the next one, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, on to the next one. Just shake it off and we're on to the next one. We get beat, but just keep playing hard. Keep doing what you've got to do and it'll come right. And it did.
I guess the touch a wee bit upon the sort of team spirit as well, but I guess that's where the development league is really good for, just understanding that it's a sort of level playing field where, you know, it is about development and it's about giving people that space to make those errors. You, am I right in saying, did you say you pitched in the development league this year?
Against you, Danny. Yep.
Was it against us? Did you pitch against us?
You don't remember, Danny? You were Ross's first strikeout.
I think I had one.
I thought it was Paul that was pitching. That was the game we came over to Tayport.
Well, you
pitched as well.
Jason Friday night to say, Bash, you want to pitch on Sunday? I was like, Jason, I've never pitched in my life. He's like, you're off the mound a couple of times at practice when we're, you know, practicing in the hall. I'm like, ah, it's the first time I've done it. I was just messing around. He's like, you'll be all right. I was like, all right, I'll give you what I've got, but, you know, I'm not making any promises I'll be able to do it, but I'll try my best. He's like, yeah, just whatever you can do, just do it. I was like, all right, no problem. It was absolutely miserable.
It's wild, but when you look at it, when you know, you're a second baseman, obviously, so you're probably sitting second, feeling quite confident you can make that throw to first, you know, 9 times out of 10. But then you go on the mound and you're actually closer, you're 60 feet, 6 inches. And it looks like it's a mile away for the catcher. It looks so far and that glove looks so small, man. What was, how difficult was it just doing that for the first time? Like,
rough. Like, I knew it was going to be tough, but yeah I think you get in your head as well and you think, I just want to get a strike. I need to get a strike. You're getting walk after walk after walk after walk. I'm like, please just give me one. Just give me one. Give me a ground ball. Give me something. Yeah, it was rough. Absolutely. I'm not even gonna lie. It was horrible. Absolutely horrible. But, you know, you gotta do these things to the team sometimes, right?
Well, that's it. And I think you're right. Like, I've said it before, like, there isn't a place as lonely as on that mound, you know, when it's not going well. Like, the whole team's on you. But the good news is you guys have got a terrific winning culture. And I'll paint a wee picture here and I'll get your views on it. You guys were meant to start in the league. Your first campaign was meant to be 2020. We didn't have a competitive campaign that year, unfortunately. So you come in 2021. And I think, looking back, for what I remember and what I can see on the socials, is you won one game and you finished bottom of the league in 2021. In 2022, you were out of playoff contention for most of the year until the final game of the season, where you had to beat the Comets to get into the postseason. And I'll try to keep my vitriolic temper in check here when I speak about this game. But no, I think you scored 15 runs or something. You've run right over the top, and going for the fourth seed to winning the Caledonia Cup in that first year must have been an amazing feeling, man. Like, I'll stop there and then I'll touch upon 2023. But that first cup run, what was that like, bringing back Tayport's first piece of metal to the club?
It was bittersweet for me because I tore my calf halfway through the season.
Right.
Never got to play in the playoffs. Maybe 3/4 through the season, I tore my calf and that was me done. You know, I wanted the guys to win so bad, but it was so hard to watch it as well because I just want to be on that field going. And then winning it as well, I didn't feel part of it, if that makes sense. I was, but in my head, just didn't feel part of it at all. It was rough, but I buzzing for the guys and went out for a couple of drinks afterwards. It was great. Went to the pub around the corner in Edinburgh, got back to Dundee, went for a couple of pints at night. It was magic, brilliant. But I just remember thinking, I just wanted to play in that game. I really wanted to play. But to get back again the next year was great for me anyway, personally. But for the club, to be the last seed, and you know, we're not thinking we're getting through. And if we do, we beat you guys, and we think, well, that's pretty good to get this far. It'll be tough the next game, and yeah, unbelievable, to be honest with you, unbelievable.
I think I coach the A-League, so I always try and get through to the guys. Like, you know, you can win a game with nine players, but you can't win a season. You can't get to that end spot with nine players. So, like, yep. Even I hear what you're saying, you know, I felt like it should have been in that game, but, you know, you contributed, and no doubt, that in getting, you know, the results to get them into the postseason. But we'll touch upon 2023, because huge improvement again, because you go from finishing fourth place and only securing fourth place in the last game of the season to finishing second in the league, and again winning two Caledonia Cups and being the first team to win it back to back. What was that sort of like, that second for the Triple A specifically? What was that sort of like?
Oh, amazing. To get to playing it again, like, it was a tough season, obviously. Like, every week, that's the thing, every week any team can beat anybody in this league. It's not like teams run away, but I know the Karen's undefeated in the league, but there's some really close games in reserve, not just from us, but other teams as well. It's not like they're just hammering teams by 10 runs every week. It doesn't happen.
To that question about that point about margins being so small across any baseball league.
Yeah, you can make one error or get one hit and the game's wide open. It was amazing. Just amazing to play the final again. And I remember, I think I had a ground ball to me near the end. And I threw the ball over Tom at first. And I was thinking, I've just lost us the final. I'm in my head. I'm just like absolutely gone. Like, I've just lost us the final. I can't believe I've done that. And then luckily we broke out and got the win. But yeah, it was magic. Like I said, a great bunch of guys. And like, we're all just good friends as well. We'll all just go on. There's no bickering, there's no animosity. The whole season, we never get down on ourselves. We're always in it. We never ever are frightened of taking teams on. You know, you go down, you think, that's all right, we've got time, we've got plenty of time. We just keep chipping away. I think that's the thing with baseball. Like, you're not going to win the game in the first inning. You have to keep chipping away. And if you're down 5, 6, 7 runs, you're not going to do it one swing of the bat. You just need to keep chipping away, and you'll get there. You can't do it all in one swing of the bat. It's important to just keep playing your own game. I think if you try and do too much, you just lose it. You have to just play your own game and it'll come.
And the other team that you've been part of... Sorry, Danny, do you want to carry on?
No, you go for it, Ewan.
Because I was going to say, Ross, the other team that you played for last year, quite a few of us played, is something not a lot of people get to do, which is you get to pull on the shirt that says Scotland.
Yeah.
With the front of it.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. That was a great weekend. And again, good bunch of guys. And the facilities down there were unreal. Like,
this is at the Summer Cup down at Farnham, where we had teams from all over the United Kingdom swinging in. And we did not bad.
We did all right. Again, just the teamwork. Like, everybody's just... Like, the first game against Liverpool, when it starts to pour rain, we're down... by 5 or 6?
It's a hefty amount, yeah.
We're needing to win the game. We're not gonna pull us out. The rain came on and we're just like, we're built for this. This is Scottish baseball weather. This is perfect. And we did it. It was great. And I remember afterwards we're just jumping about going bananas after it. It was brilliant. Great bunch of guys, great experience to play against different teams down that way, and what a level as well. Like, We're obviously got some good teams up here, but down there, like, there's some fighting players. But we held our own. Like, again, not scared to take teams on. Held our own against them. Did pretty good. What, bronze medal? Did all right with that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And to track back up at a point, you know, you spoke about that sort of not being afraid to be behind, man. Like, and that's what I will say about, like, as a competitor, obviously. Like, the Comets, especially in single A, we've got a wee friendly sort of competition going on between the Comets and the Tayport, which always gets a bit intense at points. But what I will say, from a Comets standpoint, and I always tell the guys, I'm like, you can never be comfortable with these guys, because you guys play till the very, very end. And you've beaten us by coming behind a lot of times. And that's something you've seen in the postseason and all. Like, it's a difference playing you guys in the regular season to playing you in the postseason. What do you think it is that makes up that mentality. I know Jason, I'm going all over the place here, sorry, just as well as this isn't live. I know Jason is speaking a wee bit about underdog mentality. I'm going into that first season with that underdog mentality. And then obviously going up against the Cannons, who are undefeated all year. I guess anybody was the underdog against the Cannons last year, but and that's a huge asset to have. But what really feeds into that winning mentality? What is it and where can I buy it?
It's just being together, like just not getting down each other. No matter what, you just got to keep going and have a bit of fun as well. Like, there's no point in bitching and moaning and getting upset. Like, just got to keep going. Like, don't give up. Like, I play five-a-sides with a few guys that I used to work with, and I'm not the best player, but I'll give you everything I've got. I just hate guys that don't put the effort in. I can't do it. I can't stand people don't put the effort in. You don't have to be the best player, but just put the effort in. That's all I'll ask of anybody. I think the guys do that every week. We just put the effort in, and if it goes your way, it goes your way. If it doesn't, it doesn't, but we're going to move on to the next game after that. I think in and by in is kind of the same. Like, I would just forget about that one, right? On the next one now. Just don't get down on yourself. I know I've talked about myself. I get my own head and I get down on myself. I'm getting better now, but you get back into the bench after, you know, you've dropped a ball, whatever it is, or struck out, whatever. Every one of them, but shake off. Like, I know, but I should have done that. Like, nah, it's fine. Don't worry about it. On the next one, and the right. That's what you got to do. And I'm always going to the guys and saying, don't worry about it. It's just taking your own medicine is not the easiest thing to do, but yeah. I'm always on the guy, just keep going, you're fine, you're all right, shake off, you get the next one, and we'll get it, we've got your back, and that's the main thing, that's what gets you through games, gets you through seasons, not giving up, just team mentality, we're all in it for the same cause, and just stick together, and we'll be all right.
That's a good message to have. We're probably about 10 minutes away from ending, so I want to touch upon a few things very quickly. You got your custom cleats kicking about? Where are your custom cleats?
I can, if you want to record this, but again, I'm going to dig them out if you want and show them.
No, well, don't worry about it. Talk to us a wee bit about that. Like, obviously, I saw them, man. They're sick as anything. I take it you slept on the couch for about 2 weeks after spending that amount of money in baseball shit. Like, how does a marriage survive that financial impact, man?
What you do, Danny, is you put one of those trainers under your pillow late at night and rest your ear on it.
The guys all call me the swag man because I'm just, it's from playing basketball. Like, when I played basketball, we're always, me and my best pal were always like, we'd watch other teams warming up. We're looking at the trainers the whole time. We're just in our Jordans and trainers and whatnot. So then, I'm playing baseball now. I've got to get some nice cleats. So I had a pair of Nike customs that were just the ones from Nike, like generic blue, yellow tech, perfect. And I was on Instagram. There's a guy I follow. He designs cleats for players, for MLB guys, like top, he's done them for Pete Alonso and Judge and that kind of thing. So I just followed them because they're cool. Look at, I like seeing the designs and stuff like that. And end of the season, he's always got about maybe 20, 30 pairs of cleats that are white, black, grey. He's not painted them, but he's selling them for like $10, $15 each. So there's a pair of New Balance ones to start with. I was like, I'll give him a shout and see if I can get them, if he'll send them to Scotland. $15, they'll do for a spare pair of cleats. He says, no problem with Tommy. Let me know and I'll send more to you. He says, perfect. So I'm walking about work all day and I'm like, wonder if he'll paint them for me. So I messaged him back a few hours later, like, too late to get some designs on them. He's like, no, what do you want? So I was the first pair of the New Balance ones with the ice cream cone dripping down the sides and I've got the tape logo on the inside. I've got my daughter's name on one and my sister's name on another. And then obviously I've got my second daughter now. So I was like, I can't have a pair of cleats with just Summer's name on. I need to get Sienna's on a pair as well. So I messaged him again. I was like, any chance of getting another pair of cleats done? He said, no problem at all. Which ones do you want? So it was cheaper for him to order over there, better choice and whatnot. So the Nike Karachis, and I told him what I would, just do your thing. He knows the colour schemes and all that. He knows we're kind of based by the water, stuff like that. So I told him, just want Summer on the back, Sienna on the back, and whatever else you want to do, go for it. The guy's knocked out of the park again. Unreal. It's mad that such a good guy too. There was a bit of delay in this year, but I'm messaging him saying, like, take your time, there's no rush. You're dealing with guys that play in MLB that make hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, yeah, don't worry about a little me old me from Tapeworth playing baseball in Scotland. I'm not on the map for you. He said, No, you get the same treatment as everybody else. And right enough, like, you do, like, exact same treatment I get as the pros that get the cleats. The guy's fantastic.
How much do they help your game?
Not much. I like to, if you look good, you play good. You feel good, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you're right about that. Like, this was one of the big things John Nelson was saying to us when we brought in our home and away sort of jerseys. Is like, when you look like a team, you feel like a team, and you play like a team. It's hard to play like a team when you feel like all individuals. So, no, absolutely, man. You need to feel good and ready to go when you're out there. But Bash, I've got a stupid game I'm going to play now, man, and I'm just going to throw it on you. Right. And this is going to involve you thinking a wee bit about your teammates and just talking to me wee bit about them. So you're from the same sort of era as me. So this is based on a kid's cartoon that I'm doing this on. I want you to imagine I've got a movie here that I'm wanting to launch, and it's called the Teenage Mutant Ninja Breakers, and I'm looking for four different people that I'm looking to cast for. Okay. The first one is Leonardo. Leonardo's the voice of reason. He's a calming influence. He's a leadership role in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Breakers. He is the one to unite the team and just calm things down and keep things ticking over. Who would you suggest I speak to in the Breakers to be Leonardo?
Ken Yen, the professor.
And yeah, I can see that.
Mr. Calm. Mr. Calm, Mr. Collected, no problem at all. Shen Yan, easy, all day, every day.
Yeah, I can see that, man. Like, the only time I played in the same team as him was on the All-Star 2 years ago, and he's just such a lovely guy, man. Like, and you're right, he just has fun with it, but he's also keeps control of the game.
He's all for the fun, but yeah, what a player as well. But yeah, always calm, he never gets flustered. Yeah, go him, Shen Yan.
Nice. Okay, so next we've got Donatello. Donatello's intelligent. He's a bit of a stat geek. You'll find him on the iPad looking at what pitches have been thrown where. He knows his stats. He knows his batting average. He's on base. He's full of tactics. He's a master of the game, but he's heavy in his stats.
I'm going to say Tom Knox. He knows where a pitcher is going to be pitching. He knows where he's going to throw and how fast it's going to be, obviously, roughly. Yeah, I'm going with Tommy Knox, first baseman. And by the way, what a guy, Tom.
You could pitch a marble to that guy and he'd hit it over the fence. He'd hit it for a double somewhere, man. It's just see against you guys in your outfield and you see him coming up and you're like, wherever I stand, he's going to hit it where I'm not. So it doesn't really matter.
There's gaps. That's what he does. He just finds gaps every time. Like, we could be struggling and you're like, oh, sorry, Tommy's up next. We're good. You know, Tommy just finds, he just finds it somehow.
And you know what I will say about him, man? Like, what I like about him is if you get on base against you guys, he's always the first one to shake your hand and go, oh, that was a nice hit or something, man. And I could have hit, you know, an absolute ship pop fly into the left field. He's like, you barreled that up. Cheers, man. Good guy. Okay, my third one is Michelangelo. Michelangelo is fun, relaxed. He's got a head full of helium. He's always cracking jokes. Michelangelo's just went 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts, and he's came up and told you you've had a shit game. So who's Michelangelo? Who's the joker on the team?
Scotty Black. Scotty Black, the biggest comedian going.
Aye. Yeah. Nice one, man. Aye, nice. I like me, Scott, man. Scott's a good guy.
Wind up merchant, though.
He is, man. And it's like, we've got a few of them in our team, too. But he knows how to get in your head, man. We had a wee rundown with him in the single-A final where he was trying to steal a base when I was trying to intentionally walk someday. Like, aye, good guy. Okay, so the last one is Rafael. Rafael is an intense competitor. He's all about baseball. He doesn't want to... You know, he's a pitcher that you don't speak to on game day. He's a person that's just completely focused. He needs to take 7 swings while warming up, and he needs to throw 20 pitches for the exact same spot. He's very regimented, and he's all game. Who's Rafael?
Paul Gardner, PG.
Really? Nice, yeah, man.
Don't get me wrong, like, he's a great laugh. I love Paul. Paul's a brilliant guy, but he's there. He's dedicated to the cause. Like, he just doesn't give up on him.
Aye.
He's focused.
Paul's a, Paul's a great guy, I know. He's always chatty, man. Like, and he was...
But he's focused. He's a good guy.
Try to get him converted to being a Yankees fan in my spare time. So next time I see him, I don't know if it's going to happen, but I'm keep battering on with it.
Angels, isn't he? Still an Angels guy for some reason.
Is he an Angels?
Yeah, he likes the Angels. Although he had a Dodgers shirt on last week of practice, and he had a White Sox on this week. So who knows? maybe there's scope to get in there and
just Raphael for you, man. He just loves the craft. He's dedicated.
Yeah, he's a baseball junkie. He loves it.
Love it, man. Love it. Nah, cheers for doing that. If people are wanting involved that are in your area, and I've never understood whether Tayport is Fife or Dundee or whether it's both, but if you're in any of those areas and you want to be involved, where should they go to?
Facebook page, Tayport Breakers Baseball. You'll see us there. Get involved and join the wave. We're there. Welcome aboard if you want to come on. We had a couple of new guys at practice the last 2 weeks. So, you know, I think that's the big thing for baseball in Scotland. We're always wanting new players along to grow the sport and grow the game. And with the development week, it's great to have that as well. We can get guys in that maybe haven't played all that much and then get a bit of experience in games, not just in practice, you know.
Yeah.
I love the way you just casually just slipped in, join the wave.
Oh, catch the wave. Hashtag catch the wave. I should have said that, yeah.
I was going to say, the hashtag's not there, man. You need the hashtag. Bash, cheers for jumping on with us tonight, man, and having a wee chat about all things baseball and Tayport, and a bit of the Blue Jays and all. Good to catch up with you, man. I'm looking forward to catching you out. Usually we meet quite early in the season, and it's tradition now that we end the season facing each other, man. So that's always good. It's always the last game, isn't it, man? But what's your big goals for the 2024 season, man? What are you aiming for?
Just win it again, right? It's got to be.
That's it.
Got to be. No, just have, you know, we all want to win the game, of course. You want to be the last team standing at the end of it. It's not as easy as doing that, but that's what you want to do. That's what everybody wants to do. So that's got to be the end goal. But yeah, just improve every year and enjoy it. You know, I'm 40. I'm going to be 40 this year, so. Don't know how many more years I've got left. I feel sore every Sunday night, but you got to keep going until I'm proper injured and falling apart.
You're going to do a 40-40-40 season, 40 home runs, 40 stolen bases, 40 years, man.
Go for like it. 40 years old, 40 strikeouts and 40 errors, maybe.
that's an attainable goal, man. Let's do it.
that's by game three.
I just love that 2.5 errors a game and he thinks he's still going to be taking the field.
Yeah. We'll see.
Cheers for jumping on with us, Bash, man. It was good to catch up with you. You might do a wee outro for us. Where can people go if they're interested in baseball in Scotland and one of your trademark Yankee jokes, despite the fact you're a Giants fan? You go for it.
Hold on a second. What do you mean trademark Giants? I think you remember. Let's just remind here that the last time that the Giants ever played in New York, we whipped you. We whipped you bad. That last game, winner takes all in New York. Giants took you. We don't need to make jokes about it. We've got it down on paper.
Yeah, we got 27 rings. That's fine, man. It's all good.
Yeah, but how many of them are in the 21st century? We've got three.
Yeah.
We've also got other things. We've got Facebook pages, www.facebook.com/baseballscotland. We've got Facebook pages for all the clubs from Aberdeen and Tayport, the two in Glasgow and the two in Edinburgh as well for your triple A's. We do have a website that's coming. I've seen the draft. Ho-ho! But until now, head to Facebook. Head in there, drop a message if you want to get involved. There's stuff to do on the field. There's stuff to do around the edges of the field. If you want to do office stuff and really like your spreadsheets, we've got stuff to do that as well. But as Ross showed us there, it's teamwork, it's friends, it's nipping at the pub around the corner, having a nice, gentle coffee. Alcoholic beverages are available as well. We're open to all ages. We're all open to all flavors of sexuality as well, because this is what we do. The ball is thrown, we swing the bat, the ball has no memory, but we remember all the fun that we have. How's that, Danny?
Brilliant. Thanks so much. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a final sort of pre-season episode. Until then, enjoy the spring training festivities. Enjoy watching baseball again. It's been a long time without it. So, and cheers again, fellas, for joining us. Hope you enjoy the rest of your week. All right.